It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
Of a fire, doing whatever I had to do to survive. I'm not saying what I did was all right. Trying to break out of the ghetto was a day-to-day fight. Being down so long, yet nothing crossed my mind. But I knew there was a better way of life, and I was just trying to find. You don't know what you do till you put under pressure. Across 110th Street is a hell of a tester. Across 110th Street.
Excellent choice, Mr. Slagle. Thank you. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msosi@wfyi.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Sozi. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. We have a blog, which you can check out at
filmsociology.tumblr.com. I thought that was going to be a good choice based on what we're going to be talking about today.
It is interesting that you did pick that particular piece because, I got a little movie news involving the Sozi family a little later on in the show.
Movie news?
Well,
on a
all right,
film
fine.
Show?
I know. It's great. You know what? Movie things happen. I know.
Come on.
Let me correct. Film viewing things happened over the weekend involving the family. A little later on, you're going to hear an interview I did with Ellie Krieger and Dr. Deborah Luftman, nationally renowned dermatologist, part of the Why Are These People Talking to Matthew Sozi tour. Started with Padma.
I must say your skin looks nice and lustrous today.
I almost said Heidi Klum, but you didn't have Heidi Klum.
No, I did not. I had Molly Sims. I shouldn't say I had. I talked with Molly
right.
Sims.
Yeah, that would be something else if you talked with
That would be Klum. Terrific. Yeah. Then it would be beyond a real show. Now, the voice you just heard, yes, to the man with impeccable taste of Bobby Womack tunes used two different ways. That's Kobe Slagle. Mm-hmm. And we have company.
Yes, we do.
Do we have his intro ready?
Oh, yeah, but see, I got to fade out the
This is his 21st century technology.
Here we go. Yeah, well, see, that's what you get when you're playing out a Winamp.
Here's a man with... here's one of our guests.
Well, giving away it. Trade secrets here.
That's right.
It's called Inception.
I think I know who's here.
No, you don't.
I'm still not sure.
Brian G. Hartz is here.
Good afternoon, everybody.
I think we figured out about maybe 15 or 16, but you never can tell.
Well, you know, I think a few of them just sort of sneak in. Once you get enough of them together, they just start multiplying.
I just got a tweet from Hans Zimmer. Not long enough.
I like whenever we play that, I like to imagine like that's a real movie trailer, and like I try to imagine like the text that goes on at each of those hits. Like, what could that possibly be?
Well, it could be either Inception or The Room, depending on the trailers we played on this show.
Nice.
So, Brian, thanks for hanging out.
No problem.
And he's going to break down some of the nominees for Best Original Score because of his wonderful film music blog, which you can check out at
cinematicmusic.blogspot.com.
How far away are we from the Academy Awards?
That's March?
March 2nd.
March 2nd.
Okay. 7 o'clock Eastern.
So we got some
4
time.
Pacific.
Yeah.
And you still have time to you know...
catch up on things.
And move the odds with your bet making.
Yeah.
So, very important stuff. Yeah, you have plenty of time to catch up on stuff. And some of these titles are now going into the video stores or the boxes or whatever movies you order online, things like that.
Or the magical streaming world.
That's right. I don't do movies that way. I'm on my front porch with my VHS, you damn kids. But so we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And by the way, yes, usually when I do the show, I have my Haterade mug, because that's a gift from Mr. Slagle over here.
Yep.
But in lieu of my current vocal condition, I had to bring out the big mug. Today's show is brought to you by Inkinacia, because I need it. By the way, what do you get when you cross Stan Getz with a healing herb? The girl from Echinacea. It's terrible.
That's
really poor.
Ouch.
That's really bad.
Yeah. Something that's not really bad, the cool down. What's happening
jazz
tomorrow?
Jazz people wouldn't even like that joke.
I've done it for them. They don't. First time I played
that. That was the first time Matt got thrown out of the jazz kitchen.
First and only time.
Now you tell that to Rob and he just like stare at you?
He pat me on the head, gave me a cookie, and told me to sit over there. I did that joke on the Art of the Matter with Sharon Gamble back in the day, and she groaned appropriately. So,
well, all right, yeah.
But we kept it because it's NPR. So what's happening on the cool down?
Cool down flamenco music tomorrow night replay from a couple weeks ago. But if you missed it, tune in tomorrow night 7 o'clock right here HD2 the cool down flamenco. Music.
Isn't that what Tyler said? If you missed it the first time, here it is.
if you missed it, here it is again.
You'll hear that in a little bit. Yep. All right, ladies and gentlemen, as Kobe alluded to, yes, we are in Oscar season, so there are plenty of movies that have various nominees in various categories, obviously, and you have time to check those out. So to counter that, some films...
Do that instead of seeing this.
I'll say some films are released in January for a reason. We had we had Hercules a couple weeks ago. Apparently,
That was out already.
Yeah, not the Dwayne Johnson.
Is it gone already?
No, I think it's barely. We have to check the screening, check the theater websites, but I would not be surprised if it's now down to the 10:20 screening, and that's it.
All right.
Whether it's morning or evening.
Appearing on Blu-ray next week.
Right. So that was, I think that was 2 weeks ago, and I missed that. And then last week was Ride Along.
Yes.
Which Chris Lloyd has dubbed an early contender for worst film of 2014.
Wow.
Critics like to do that. And also, this is also a time of year for me where I'm directing a play. I'm directing Born Yesterday at Scottish Rite Cathedral.
Excellent.
Yes, which opens in March. And so my evenings are occupied, so now I depend on the kindness of morning press screenings or going to see something first thing Friday morning like I did today. Ladies and gentlemen, one film and one film only is new in Indianapolis, and I saw it. I missed the non-Dwayne Johnson Hercules.
Not been out yet. Oh, wait, no. Never mind. Sorry.
I missed... Ice Cube and Kevin Hart doing a buddy picture.
But probably not the Miller Lite commercials.
No, not those. I did not miss, however, I Frankenstein. I saw this at 10 o'clock this morning at AMC Castleton in 2D. Sorry. Didn't feel like waiting the extra 40 minutes or paying the extra bucks.
Then you didn't really see it.
I didn't really experience it.
No.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. So fine. When you hear my review, put an asterisk over it.
So was that about
your review? Is the Barry Bonds?
That's right. It's Barry Bonds.
Was that the viewing method or the acting style?
Ooh, very good.
Hey, you want to have a listen?
here, ladies and gentlemen, I now every now and then, and I know this is Ed Johnson Ott's favorite portion of the show, but but every now and then, Kobe Slagle.
That should be a segment.
What?
Ed breaks down entire plots of bad movies.
I don't know if he has.
And he does his character voices.
Oh, yeah. He has. He's done before.
No,
so
we should. That should be
that's
a regular thing.
That's regular. Mm-hmm. You should bring that up to him.
Okay.
You follow him on Facebook. Bring it up.
Yeah.
Anyway, here is Kobe Slagle. Just in case you need to do this, he will do it for you. He provides this service here at Film Sociology. He will break down the trailer for
that's
you.
That's my thing.
Because, you know, it is, you know, trailers are a visual medium, but there is some audio. And I love action movie trailers that have no dialogue in it. Hello, Michael Bay.
Not even voiceovers anymore.
No.
Cheapskates.
And we'll get to that in a little bit. But anyway, here is Kobe Slagle breaking down the trailer for I, Frankenstein.
Let's have a listen.
Yep.
Break it down.
Whoa! Whoa!
That was a loud noise.
Crash. Something fell through a ceiling. I think this might... Oh, man.
Harvey Dent.
Frankenstein.
Got his face back.
The rumors are true.
Kind of.
Lionsgate.
Production credits.
5 studios.
Guy somewhere on a mountaintop
now. I was
now.
Doing life
oh, it's Frankenstein
200
in a mountaintop.
Years ago. I am like none other.
He is not the Batman.
You have strength and
he's
speed
not quite horse
stamina.
Enough.
Far beyond that of any human. You could use
he's not Billy Dee Williams.
In a war that you are already a part of.
Dragons roaring and
I go my own way.
Catchphrase.
You cannot save the human race.
I bet we
villain
got
talk.
Nothing can stop their demise.
More villain talk by esteemed actor. From the producers of Underworld.
There's an entire army of monsters like me. Tens of thousands of them. Could mean the end of all mankind.
Descending bass sound.
Yep. With electronica.
This ends tonight.
Catchphrase. Action shot. Explosion. Monsters everywhere. Oh, we're gonna find out when it comes out.
I looked into your eyes.
Token lady.
Slumming from Game of Thrones.
You're only a monster if you behave like one.
Other token lady.
Unless you are actually, you know, a monster.
Frankenstein must be
we're
destroyed.
Gonna burn our path. Oh, things are more complicated
weapons.
Than what they seemed initially.
Not Hans.
Screamy gargoyle things. Houses are collapsing.
Blood
castles
will surely
are collapsing.
Die.
Okay, there we go. I, Frankenstein.
I already did.
Catchphrase. End. Legend lives 2014. There you go.
I would say villain taunt followed by a final catchphrase.
Yes. Right yes. Yes.
And by the way, Kobe also sounds like Matthew Soucy horse, but we backed up Kobe on his
right.
talk.
Right.
So,
okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have Aaron Eckhart doing some quality work after working with Christopher Nolan. Yeah, he is. First off, he is referred to as Frankenstein creature, Frankenstein monster.
Okay, so there's some accuracy there.
Slight accuracy there. So, you know, gold star for that. But yes, he's walking the earth like Kane in Kung Fu and gets in the middle of a angelic monster. Angelic gargoyles versus demonic gargoyles. And
I liked I, Frankenstein, but it looks like it's gonna. It looks too gargoyle come to lifey.
Yeah, or as as I think I already wrote on Twitter, and I'm surprised Abdul hasn't said it. Oi, Frankenstein. And yeah, he somehow because he's a creation by Dr. Victor Frankenstein, he can live for hundreds of years. So he miraculously gets a haircut and winds up in modern day London.
Yeah. Okay. So how does he live for hundreds of years? Because we saw a scene in the trailer where he appears to be on a snow covered mountain.
He has no soul.
So, you
know what? He does have a skull and bones.
And bones.
So, that's not really important. He's just still around, wandering with his not quite Bale raspy voice, and not quite my raspy voice, but yeah, so he gets caught up in this convoluted fight for the right. And by the way, apparently there is a fight between angels and demons going on that us everyday people have no clue is happening.
Oh, amazing.
Right.
Like in the streets and stuff.
Yeah, and this is usually said to you by somebody with a paper bag or tin foil on their head. So,
I see.
But they're not in this film. So
the Muggles just don't know.
No, they don't. They don't. So, yeah.
Okay, so you said it doesn't matter where he came from. He's just been hanging out. He's been couch surfing for 200 years.
Yeah, and so he gets caught up in this. Of course, he's a loner. He's a rebel and does not want to work with
way.
Does like, not want to like, work with the Game of Thrones cutie and her army of angelic gargoyle things. So and then of course there's
confused with the singing dancing gargoyles from the Disney version of Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Well, yeah, Mary Wicks, we miss you. Was that Mary Wicks?
Yeah,
I have to check.
So he gets a 200 year more modern haircut.
Right, and then and gets caught up in this battle. And there's also a scientist, cute scientist. Apparently, Rosamund Pike was too expensive for this film. Good for you. and I love scientists in tight jeans and knee-high boots. I like that college.
Hey, why not?
The same college that brought us Dr. Elizabeth Shue from The Saint and Dr. Linda Fiorentino from Men in Black.
Don't forget Dr.
Oh, Dr. Christmas Jones in World Is Not Enough.
Yes.
So I know we'll receive your angry, hate, piggish, sexist comments a little later on. Yeah, so there's this corporate. Yeah, there's a scientist with this working for this corporation run by Bill Nye. That's a red flag right there. We like Bill Nye, and he does. By the way, he does not get to chew enough scenery in this film.
No,
there's a couple. There's one of the underworld films. I remember reviewing it here. It was really bad when they're not, when he and Michael Sheen were not on, but when they were on, spitting out desks and chairs and things, that was entertaining. He doesn't do that enough in this film, which is sad.
Yeah, this doesn't seem like the kind of movie that was even so bad it's entertaining.
No, it's not. And I was telling Stacey Studeville that usually you could just, you know, cranked out a four-pack of Sun King and just rip back and enjoy. And there really isn't that in this one.
What do we clock in at?
It's, well, with the trailers, it's probably, I think it was an hour and a half, maybe?
With
hour,
trailers?
No, not with trailers. Oh, with, okay. I say, because I was out of the theater by 10 to noon today.
And, okay. And you didn't leave early?
No, it takes a lot. It takes a lot for me to actually get up and walk out of a, you know, the last film I officially walked out of, because I have an unofficial one. Last film I walked out of was Barb Wire.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. So the other one, which I don't count because it was the very last scene and I got up and left, but that was Pay It Forward.
Ah.
So when I realized that they were doing the Coke commercial at the end with all the candles, I was like, I'm out of here. So that doesn't really count because, you know, credits were lurking. So.
There you go.
So.
Are you still curious about this picture?
No, well,
because there's lots of explosions and demon fightings and him being gruff and.
Well, he's just been hanging out for 200 years. Apparently, he gets a haircut.
You're still stuck on the first 10 minutes of the film.
No, in the trailer, there's a shirtless scene and he's all cut up, so he's obviously been working out.
Obviously,
but the movie is called. You said they referenced.
I did not really think that was where you were going when you said the Frankenstein monster was all cut up.
The man, I need to get some new audio. Anyway, so you said you made a reference earlier. They call him the Frankenstein monster, the Frankenstein creation.
Yes.
Okay. There's a why is the movie called I Frankenstein? Is Dr. Frankenstein is obviously not in this movie.
I Robot. I don't know why. Yeah, I Claudius. Why? I didn't name it.
I'm just wondering.
I think because especially near the second half of the film, they make him off like this. Yeah, avenging. He's not the Dark Knight. No, he's the dark creature creation.
Corpse guy.
And I think that's the tone they're trying to do with this film, but it's also from the producers of Underworld, so there's a lot of cheap CG and flames and dumb fights. And
see, this is my thing. Nobody makes good B movies anymore.
They're too expensive.
Or when they're cheap, they're just all, you know, soulless CG and,
right. And
you know, take themselves way too seriously.
Chris Lloyd said, like, because he was not a fan of the first Robert Rodriguez film, Machete. I was, and his theory is you can't make a $25 million grindhouse film. I think you can.
Yeah. if you can.
If you know, yeah, like you say, if you have the right tone.
Mm-hmm.
The last few weeks I've been watching some of these. When we were snowed in,
the royal we.
I meant the state of Indiana we. I watched Hobo with a Shotgun. Now that's a low budget.
There you go.
That's a low budget picture and done brutally well. So yeah, I guess we would, in another time, we would call this a B movie, but it's kind of too expensive to be a B movie and it's not fun.
Exactly.
It's a B movie.
Well, I thought the Underworld movies all suffered from that. I found them incredibly dreary, despite, you know, things zipping around and lots of shooting all the time.
And there is that in this. And there are the cool knives and weapons that are also keys. And
yeah, that I noticed he's got some kind of bizarre looking, you know, obscure kung fu weapon.
Oh, but Aaron Eckhart's the creature character. Mm. He's old school. He's got a pair of sticks that apparently when you hit people with them, they explode.
What? The wow. people explode?
Or
the
demons.
Explode?
I'm sorry, the demons explode when you hit them.
Oh. The sticks don't explode.
No. That would be bad.
They're multi-use sticks.
Yeah, one time use, that's about it. That's kind of bad. So, but yes, this is the second directing effort from the writer of Australia, 30 Days of Night, Derailed, Collateral, G.I. Joe, Rise of the Cobra, and Curse of the Black Pearl.
There's about two decent movies among that.
There's two. But, yeah. So, do we have Joe Shearer's...
I'm looking for it. Oh, got it.
It's dumb.
Yeah, it's really dumb. So, yeah, it's the combination of trying to be... And I was worried it was going to be like Van Helsing. And it kind of is, where they, you know, they made poor Hugh Jackman into a swashbuckling kind of Errol Flynnish Barrymore,
and then they threw everything into it.
And I Frankenstein kind of does that. We, you know, apparently the Frankenstein monster is a lone wolf vigilante in an underworld war. What? So yeah,
and we don't even get Kate Beckinsale.
No, we don't get Kate Beckinsale. Although the scientist lady. Because I'm an old person. Scientist lady. She's kind of cute. And yeah, like I said, the lady from Game of Thrones is the queen. So, not Helen Mirren. I'm sorry. There was one other film that opened today. And Kobe, you have been warned. The Invisible Woman, the new film directed by and starring Ralph Fiennes as Charles Dickens.
Actually come out here?
Well, if you can read, at the very least, you can read. Yeah, it's at Keystone Art. You can read Ed Johnson-Ott's review of it in Nouveau.
Nice.
So, as the headlines write, because I don't believe he wrote the headlines, Invisible Woman is a pretty good historical drama if you can stand the repression and shame.
Well, I mean, that's Victorianism all over.
Yes. So, I think your lovely wife and your lovely mother-in-law should go check that out.
I think they should.
Not you.
No.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I know, that's kind of Slim Pickens and other great people from Dr. Strangelove. Yeah. So there's, like I said, there's still a number of Oscar nominated films out there right now. You can also check out apparently at the Indiana State Museum IMAX through January 30th. If you want to see it in IMAX and I believe also in 3D is, you can see The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
Also known as The Hobbit, Three More Hours of Running Around.
But there is a weird Sherlock Holmes reunion. Not really worth the price, but that's out there.
Yes.
Tonight at the IMA at 7:00, don't tell the Farrell family on Twitter, but they're showing at the IMA Winter Nights movie series, Manhattan.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent Woody Allen film.
Yeah.
Beautifully shot in black and white. Yeah, he's dating a character played by Muriel Hemingway. Move past that.
Well, you know.
Little bit.
We gotta account for the squick factor now anytime you watch anything involving Woody Allen, unfortunately.
I guess so. By the way, his new film's out on Blu-ray and it's got nominations. Anyway, also tomorrow night, Vintage Movie Night at the Garfield Park Art Center at 7:00, The Coconuts from 1929. Early Marx Brothers, early Marx Brothers.
If you've never seen the Marx Brothers, do yourself a favor. Check this out.
Cool.
You have, haven't you?
I have not.
Really?
Not a single Marx Brothers movie?
Not a one.
Single, ah. Not a one.
Oh, dear. We will have to fix that.
We've got to work that out for us.
We,
this show, will have to fix that for you. You know, Mr. Slagle, I think when I get home, I will have to get the Universal box set and take care of that.
Okay.
So, Mr. Slagle, what is happening at your alma mater?
Friday, January 24th, 6:30 p.m., IU Cinema from night to... Actually, the whole weekend, a lot of foreign language films. Tonight, 6:30, Taste of Cherry from 1997. And then later at 9:30 tonight, 10 from 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, 3 o'clock, Meeting Layla from last year, 2013. And then at 7 o'clock, Where is the Friend's House from 1987. And then Sunday, the 26th from 1992, 3 o'clock, Life and Nothing More. And then The Habit of Art at 6:30.
Not The Hobbit of Art.
Not The Hobbit, The Habit.
Okay, very good. You know, let's take a short break, and then we'll play my interview with Ellie Krieger and Dr. Deborah Luffman, and then Brian Hartz is going to break down some of the nominees for Best Score. We have Dead People We Like. We have a title. We go into the archives, and we have a few films on Blu-ray, a couple of which are up for nominations. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Word.
WFYI, Indianapolis. Have a groovy time. Listen it.
Haven't heard that one in a while.
The man that whose talents just keep on giving back, that's Tommy Wiseau.
Have a good time. Listen it.
Listen it.
Play. Do you have the other one?
Oh, I got to find it.
I know you do, but that's still.
I'll get to it.
That's a, you know, we here at Film Sociology, here in the HD2 studio, mm-hmm. we should have the interview wall of fame, because Tommy's first ballot right there. He's like Babe Ruth.
First ballot hall of fame.
First ballot, first entry right there. We play that interview at least once a year, especially.
Hey, everyone. This is Tommy Wiseau, and you're listening now Film Sociology at the WFYI Indianapolis.
Have a groovy time.
And we are going to have a groovy time.
Oh,
where on earth is he even from?
Who knows? I still need to pick up the
book. I saw something online this week about, I think.
Oh, it was in The Onion.
Was it The Onion?
Yeah, I sent it to you.
AV Club, yeah.
Yeah, the AV Club. I sent that to you, so who cares? You know what? He's from Wizoland.
Yeah.
he's earned that
stat. Wizonia.
Hail Wizonia.
Speaking of the Marx Brothers.
Yes, he has earned that right. So I don't care where he's from. As long as he's still making weird stuff like The Room, I'm all for it. So
in the house that drips blood on Alex.
That's right. We got to get that debut. We got to get that out. All right. Before we talk with Brian G. Hartz, who's, I'm really happy he's here because that besides taking some of the vocals off of me, you get to break down the some of the nominees for Best Original Score.
It'll almost be as entertaining as breaking down the I, Frankenstein trailer.
Oh, gosh. That was bad. Now, I have to say, I did this interview about a month ago. So I owe a little apology to Ellie Krieger and Dr. Deborah Luffman. Because it took a while, because end of the year things happened. And
that'll happen toward the end of the year.
It does. You know what? End of the year is different than the after the end of the year.
It's a new year. It's a
completely different era. But in the pantheon of interviews like Molly Sims, Padma Lakshmi, Property Brothers, those guys, Ingrid Hoffman, I got onto this interview with Ellie Krieger, who you know from Healthy Appetite, Healthy Living on Food Network.
Mm.
Her show was on a couple years back. And she was doing a tag team interview with Dr. Deborah Luffman, who is a nationally renowned dermatologist. And they were doing two things. They were talking about how to prepare for eating for the holidays and how to keep yourself healthy and keep your skin better in good condition when it's in the dead of winter. Well, we're still in the dead of winter.
Yes.
And I think when you're snowbound, you tend to eat more anyway. Maybe. But so I think even though the holidays are over, the material in this interview still stands. So here's my chat with Ellie Krieger and Dr. Deborah Luffman.
Hi, Matthew.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
Terrific.
Great.
Great. How are you doing?
Hanging in there. Ellie, I have to tell you, to prepare for this, I had your honey oven fried chicken last night for the family.
Ooh, I'm jealous. I haven't had that in a while. I love that recipe.
Well, we appreciate it. And my friend Marianne swears by, she's trying to go through every recipe in the book, because she's ahead of me in that competition. So.
Oh, I'm honored. Tell her hi and that I'm honored.
Most definitely. So, ladies, this is one of the biggest challenges for the holidays when it comes to our bodies. And, you know, I think between Thanksgiving and New Year's, what do you recommend as far as making it as easy as possible, or the constant battle between quality versus quantity?
Oh, gosh. Well, in terms of that, I mean, one of the key things is to really savor. And I think, you know, we say how much we love food and it tastes so good. We don't really taste it unless we just slow down and chew it and really take it in. And simply doing that, it's amazing. You wind up enjoying your food more but eating less. So I think in terms of thinking about it like that is one really, really helpful approach during the holidays. But one of the things that Dr. Luffman and I are here together today because we're on the Simple Skincare Advisory Board. And Simple Skincare really takes this holistic approach to skin health and wants you to glow, you know, beautifully this holiday season. And really, that comes from taking care of your skin from the outside in and also the inside out. So there are ways that you can eat and really festive, delicious, satisfying holiday foods from, you know, soup to dessert, literally, that can help your skin look better. And we'd love to share with you some ideas for that. And Dr. Luffman is so knowledgeable about exactly why these foods can help.
Please do. Deborah, what would you recommend?
Well, you know, we talk about taking care of ourselves both from the inside out and the outside in. As a dermatologist, I do actually start from the outside. Not to be superficial or anything, but, you know, making sure that your skin is hydrated. You know, we're drying out during the winter months. It's going in and out of forced heat, becoming chapped. So I've always been looking for that great moisturizer, and I found it in Simple's Replenishing Rich Moisturizer, which instantly doubles skin's hydration. So I think it's really key to look good from the outside, but then when it comes to the inside, there are actually ingredients in foods that make your skin more supple and healthier. And Ellie has some amazing recipes that actually look at these ingredients as part of the recipes. And she can talk about one in particular, which is a soup, which also warms you up.
Yeah, this and it also hydrates you because there's so much liquid in it, right? So, you know, we think about maybe hydration as just what we drink, but in fact, a lot of the foods we eat contain a lot of water, so focusing on that. But this curried pumpkin and tomato soup is... So it's from my upcoming new book, and I'm giving you a little sneak peek here.
Thank you.
So the new book's called Weeknight Wonders, and it's a delicious healthy dinners in 30 minutes or less. So the recipe literally takes less than 30 minutes to make. It has tomatoes, canned tomatoes, and also pumpkin, canned pumpkin, and you basically put it in a pot with some broth and some ginger and garlic and curry powder, And it comes out. I wish you could see it because it's so beautiful in its color. It's deep orange color. It's beautiful, savory spices. Just the aroma is incredible. And it serves up so beautifully. It's a warming way to start a meal. When guests come, you know, you can serve it in little cocktail glasses even as a, like, kind of a more casual service. Or for a more formal dinner, you can serve it in bowls as a first course. But it's really lovely. And both the pumpkin and the tomato, not to mention the liquid in the soup that helps your skin, but both the pumpkin and tomato have powerful skin-loving benefits. Right, Dr. Luffman?
Yeah, well, pumpkin is a great antioxidant. It has vitamin A and C. It softens and soothes the skin. It boosts the collagen production, which we all love because it means less wrinkles. And then in the tomatoes, there's lycopene, which is a great anti-inflammatory, also an anti-wrinkle ingredient. So who would have thought a soup would have so many great skin-loving benefits?
Good to know. Deborah, if somebody like me is going to go out and shovel the walk, what should I do before and after, and should I take breaks during? I mean, I'll obviously take breaks so I won't have a heart attack, but from a skin care standpoint.
Right. Well, you know, the cold wind, the ice, all that, you need to really protect your skin. Like that replenishing rich moisturizer from Simple I discussed. But also, actually, wearing a sunscreen every single day is really important, even in the winter, because you're getting those harmful UVA rays and UVB rays. Keeping covered, you don't want to lose too much in the way of water or hydration in your skin. And taking breaks, getting some food in you, drinking vitamins, all those things are important. So that you're able to do that shoveling of the snow.
So if I use aloe, my brain will think Florida, even though I'm shoveling in Indiana.
Sure.
Exactly. And another recipe I have is this gorgeous kale salad. I don't know, kale is like the hottest thing now. Everyone's loving it, and it's really popular. And for good reason. It's not only delicious cooked, I love to, you know, slice it into salad, and you kind of massage it with the dressing so that it tenderizes a bit. And my 11-year-old daughter loves to do that massaging of the greens. And then she's really excited about this salad, too. And I kind of sweeten the dressing by using the juice from raisins that I soak. And it gives a beautiful flavor, nice sweet flavor. And then I put the raisins in the salad and some toasted pine nuts. Delicious, delicious salad. Put a nice piece of salmon over that, and you have a fabulous, you know, nice lunch or light dinner that's really going to energize you for all this hectic, you know, holiday season and be so great for your skin because the kale, the nuts, the raisins, the salmon are all incredible for your skin.
So, Ellie, when does your cookbook come out?
So it's available for pre-order now, but it's officially released December 31st. But, you know, these recipes that I'm talking about, we kind of have them available now for you on Pinterest.com/simpleskincare.
Okay. Well, ladies, this is a film show, so I'm curious, what films have you been able to watch recently? It doesn't matter if it's new or old.
What did I just see? Oh, my gosh. No, I literally was just... I'll tell you what I want to see.
Okay.
I really... I want to see American Hustle.
Well, it opens this week, so I can tell you this much. I think you'll enjoy it if you like David O. Russell's prior work.
Oh, yeah, I think I'm really, that is so high on my list. That's what I'm really psyched to see.
Excellent. Well, I'll give you an easy one. Favorite Christmas film?
Oh, my God. Can I tell you my favorite film, though, in general of all time, is The Graduate.
Oh, that's a good one.
I love that movie. And the soundtrack and stuff. I could watch that movie 1,000 times. I think I may have.
I'm a Chariots of Fire fan.
Oh, geez, Running in the Sand. I had a freshman English prof spend a whole week on The Graduate, so good call on that one.
What's your favorite movie?
Oh, I don't have one. I don't keep lists. I'm married, and I have a child, and I have interviews to conduct. So at this moment, I guess if you ask me right now, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. But if you ask me in 30 minutes later, it might be something else.
Right. Depends what kind of mood you're in, right?
Exactly. That was my chat last month with Ellie Krieger and Dr. Deborah Luffman. They're prepared for to do the junket so long as it's about their topic, obviously.
I guess so, yeah. Well, at least we know they like Simon and Garfunkel and Vangelis.
In that order. Mrs. Sosie, however, not a fan of Vangelis.
Ah, that's too bad.
Well, it for her, it spawned the electronic movement, which lost some of its, actual musicians, but... A lot of symphony's work didn't happen, I think, because she puts the blame on Vang.
Oh,
so.
I see. Oh.
But it has been used well, like Blade Runner and
absolutely.
Other pictures like that. So anyway, Anyway, it was Honest to Day Bang. So Brian G. Hartz is here.
Yo.
And so now that we've brought up film music, you got a chance to listen to some of the Oscar nominated scores.
Most of them.
So, what do you think of this year's crop?
Well, I think it's a pretty good one, actually. I think it's telling that, of all the nominees, only one of them is in what you might even remotely call a sort of a big budget film for the masses.
Mm-hmm.
Go through
the nominees.
We got John Williams for The Book Thief, the Holocaust drama. Gravity, of course, everybody knows about Gravity. Stephen Price, a newcomer to the field. Her, another pair of newcomers, William Butler and Owen Pallett. And unfortunately, I've neither seen that film nor was I able to listen to the music from it.
Mm-hmm.
So can't say anything one way or the other about that. We've got Alexander Desplat for Philomena and Saving Mr. Banks, Thomas Newman. Three of the five are perennial nominees, but as I was saying, it's kind of interesting that the best music is judged to be for films that have not really been the big for the masses popular entries.
Well, I was wondering about that since of course one of the big films, 12 Years a Slave, is also composed by one of your favorite guys, Hans Zimmer.
And, he was expected to get the nod.
He's done a couple of films this year that folks thought it would get in.
He has been breaking a little bit out of his comfort zone lately, but...
Less 4-4 and 87 cellos.
Exactly. But this was not to be this year. We've got John Williams, at it again, still at it at 82 years old.
He's got, 300 scores to his name, at least? It's not quite Morricone, but...
At least 200. He actually is the human being who's been nominated for the most Oscars in history,
More than Anita's head.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, 49 Oscar nominations.
And how many wins?
Five.
I love this. You wrote this online yesterday. His last win was when?
1994 for Schindler's List.
So he's Meryl Streep, basically.
I guess so. Speaking of which, Saving Mr. Banks is also nominated, and we were debating yesterday whether Meryl will actually rush the stage like Kanye West if Saving Mr. Banks wins anything, so she can...
So I would say, because I think a lot of people, when they think of Williams, they think of, the really important, not bombastic, but very serious stuff that he worked on with Steven Spielberg all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So, or is this one of my favorite Williams scores is Catch Me If You Can.
Lovely,
and the Terminal, just kind of low key, jazzy.
And this is this is a little more in the vein of those. It's in a more intimate.
It's a 60 piece orchestra as opposed to a 150 piece.
Exactly.
Orchestra.
Yes. Okay. You won't be hearing the Imperial March anywhere in here. But John Williams is incredibly sophisticated as a composer, and it's great these days just to hear him work on something that doesn't have anything to do with Steven Spielberg or George Lucas.
That's I think what a lot of people assume. So
because he's slow. Going down in his later years, but nonetheless, he's still been nominated for an Oscar just about every year, even since his last one. Probably not going to take home the award this year.
Who do you think will?
I think it's probably Alexander Desplat's year. He's been getting a lot of love from the Academy lately. 7 nominations, no wins yet.
What were the 7?
Last year was Argo. Shoot, I should have
sorry,
should have written these down. But his work in Philomena this year is actually very good. I think it's worthy of winning, and by Oscar logic, he's been nominated enough times that he's due now.
Tell that to Roger Deakins.
Well, you know, always a bridesmaid.
Yeah. And I think that also if you do Oscar theories, that might be the one Philomena gets.
For score, yes, yeah, yes, because they got to throw it a bone somewhere. And it's not gonna.
Because I don't, you know, as much as I love Judi Dench, I don't know if she's got that strong a chance, and I don't know if the screenplay has that strong a chance.
Yeah.
So.
But it's a wonderful score. It's centered around this little waltz that starts out being very light and charming and moves into a much more haunting and elegiac mood. And
thanks, Irish Catholic Church.
Yeah, exactly. It even appears as a tune on a circus calliope for a merry-go-round at one point. So I thought that was pretty inventive.
Very good.
Gravity, I think gets my Hans Zimmer Award for a sound design masquerading as an original score. It's got some moments of grandeur, but there's lots of layers of electronic fuzz and other effects.
But not I Frankenstein effects.
Probably not.
And
no,
fuzz.
There's no gratuitous bass drop in there.
But there's a lot of Sandra Bullock gasping.
That might have been in there somewhere. I'm not sure.
Used as a loop.
You know, I'm sure it's probably perfectly effective in the film, but listening to it as a standalone piece of music isn't all that thrilling.
Gravity also nominated for sound editing and sound mixing.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So ironic.
Got a chance there.
It takes place in the vacuum of space.
See what he did
in space,
there.
No one can hear your score. Wait, no, they can.
Yes,
and it's nominated for an Oscar. But I think Philomena is deserving. My personal favorites were Philomena and The Book Thief. The Book Thief is John Williams in sort of quieter Schindler's List-ish mode. Thomas Newman of course could be the dark horse here. He's of course probably most famous for his scores to American Beauty and Shawshank Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
He's of course a member of the Newman dynasty of film composers, going all the way back to Alfred. No, not the Gap Tooth.
Not the Gap Tooth.
Mad Magazine. But he's actually been nominated for a dozen Oscars and curiously never won.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
But unfortunately, I think his work this time around isn't quite distinctive enough to get him over the edge. It's lots of the same kind of jangly stuff that he started doing in American Beauty and really hasn't stopped.
So maybe a couple of months after this, he'll be like Emma Thompson's character and admit that he just hated the film. No, I'm kidding.
Who knows?
Okay. So plug the blog again so people can read your work.
It's cinematicmusic.blogspot.com right now. It's not up yet, but I'm working on a huge compendium of all the music from the Marvel Avengers series, so that should be
nice.
Fun and loud.
And, speaking of it, on Sunday night's Stolen Moments, which you can hear on WFYI HD1.
Fine program.
Thank you. Sunday night, you were brought up this afternoon as we were recording. Sunday night and Wednesday nights, you'll be hearing some music from Lalo Schifrin.
Nice.
Including a moment brought in by yours truly. And if you enjoy watching Mike Connors jump on bad guys, you'll enjoy this week's Stolen Moments.
Excellent.
Do we want to talk about original song?
I would if I'd heard any of them.
There you go.
That's kind of where I am.
That's taken care of.
I've only heard Let It Go from Frozen, and I kind of feel like that's probably going to be a lock.
Probably.
It's probably going to be the shoe-in, and I haven't even heard it.
Wow. Okay, I want to go into the archives quickly. These are the films that you have to buy
so
online.
We're gonna open the door and like leave it open?
Yeah, this is just get out. So, these are the films that you can buy online, or as Kobe likes to put it.
Yeah, burn it for like $5.
In this case, 20. There's a 19. This was fun. This is a double feature of 1930-1931 films featuring Loretta Young.
Ooh.
And apparently this, speaking of 17-year-olds, she was 17 when one of these films was made.
What do you know?
Whoops. it says on the back, this was before the code. So pre-code dramas of 1930s, there was Right of Way, where you have the lawyer of a loverless marriage, helps out his wife's brother with gambling problems, and then he is beat up at a dockside saloon and thrown into the water. Lost at sea, they thought, lost for dead, but he actually loses his memory and is rehabbed in the forest. So he survived going through the... Maybe while he was floating in the water, he saw Frankenstein walking the earth.
He might have. He was around that whole time.
He was around.
And
probably before he got the haircut, though.
He is nursed back to health and basically re-educated by Loretta Young. Not a bad teacher.
I was going to say.
And the other one from...
This was long before the denture commercial days.
Long before, yes. And the Loretta Young show, long before that. So 1930, we also have The Truth About Youth.
It's clever because it rhymes.
Don't you think? Starring Conway Turle, who is a boy with a steady girl. That's played by Loretta Young. And he's put under the spell of a nightclub siren played by Myrna Loy.
Ooh.
Not a bad place to be in 1930, to be stuck between Myrna Loy and Loretta Young. Or as her character, as Myrna Loy's character is referred to, as the singer with wild hair and nude hips.
Nude hips?
Pre-code, folks. This is scandalous. So... And Kobe.
Is the rest of her covered? How do you do that?
Now, Mr. Slagle has a term he likes to use when talking about films from the 70s.
Oh, it's a different time.
So, now, every now and then when Kobe watches a film from the 50s, it makes him yearn for the 70s.
Yeah.
1930, dude. 30s style acting.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like...
Very, very early talkies, too.
Very early talkies. You know, stilted and little grand. You'll see. Someday. Okay. So, but anyway, that's out there. Okay. Do we have time for Dead People We Like?
Oh,
we have
yeah.
time for Dead People We Like.
We got all kinds of time.
Do we?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Doing our the annual show of Dead People We Like.
There's a pretty big one this
week. We don't have time for Dead People We Don't Like.
Yes.
This is from last week, so a little bit better late than ever. The last female munchkin from The Wizard of Oz died at the age of 95, Ruth Robinson DeChuney, who was there. She was 95, died in Las Vegas, and we saw her. We say thank you.
Godspeed.
But apparently her death leaves just one more munchkin member of the original Oz cast, Jerry Marin, now age 93.
Wow.
And I bet right now he's opening up a case of scotch because he won.
And why not? If you're 93, you might as well.
Go for it. So we thank you for that.
Was the professor last week then?
Yeah, we talked about him and Dave Madden. So we got that. Some titles on DVD and Blu-ray we're checking out. Oh, that mall? That long? We're doing okay?
Oh,
all right,
yeah.
good.
That's what I'm saying. We got all kinds of time.
All right, we got all kinds of time. So
but
two
not,
of the films...
still not for Dead People We Don't Like.
No, two of the films that are up for awards are now out on Blu-ray. Of course, we just reheard an interview on Fresh Air today. Captain Phillips, big film for Paul Greengrass. A Paul Greengrass film shot in water, and I was not nauseated watching it. Unlike the Bourne films.
That's progress.
That is progress. So,
the Bourne films where he just sort of threw the camera down a flight of stairs.
And in a bucket of water. But no Best Actor nod for Tom Hanks. However, Best Supporting Actor nod for Bartok Opti. I hope I'm saying that right.
Sure.
Yes. Scary performance as the head pirate in that group. Other film that's up, I think it's got three nominations. Woody Allen's Blue Jasmine. So you have nominations for Cate Blanchett, who is kind of, I think, the odds-on favorite because Meryl's already won. Sandra's already won in this category. Amy Adams has not. This is, I think, her first Best Actress nomination. Judy has won Supporting Actress before, but not won in this category. And then Blanchett has won Supporting Actress, but not in this category. So anyway, Sally Hawkins is also up for Best Supporting Actress, and I believe the screenplay is also up. So go check that out. Machete Kills. If you want to see Sofia Vergara with a Gatling gun brassiere. That's in here.
Sadly, not nominated for any awards.
Yeah, that's out there. And the film, it didn't get any nominations, but it's worth checking out if you are a fan of radio and voiceover work. The Lake Bell comedy In a World, where she wrote and directed and starred in it as the daughter of a famous voiceover artist who's trying to break into the world of voiceover work. And anybody who knows that recording, that industry, or has an appreciation of the big voice guy, it's worth checking out. It's a lot of fun. And they make fun of girls with sexy baby voices. So definitely worth checking out.
And, of course, salute the memory of Don LaFontaine.
Don LaFontaine. So, some old titles out on Blu-ray this week. Julie Taymor's version of Titus.
Love that movie.
Jessica Lange, Anthony Hopkins, and a big kitchen scene at the end. So,
interesting trivia. Do you know which movie completely ripped off Elliot Goldenthal's score from that?
No.
300.
Wow.
Yeah. Tyler Bates was sued for plagiarism.
Ouch.
Yep.
Well, I couldn't hear the score from all the screaming of fighting and things. So
and check it out.
What?
And Sparta.
Yeah, kick him down a pit. Zulu. For you fans of big sweeping epics from the 70s.
And Michael Caine.
And or 60s. So yeah, young Michael Caine.
And great John Barry score, by the way.
There you go. Because the remake is coming out, there is a remastered edition of the original RoboCop. That's the one with the satire.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
Just make sure
which,
there is.
Which, you know, great music in all of these,
yep.
Actually.
Criterion has put out It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. A long, indulgent, but pretty funny comedy starring half the Screen
starring
Actors
everyone.
Guild from the 1960s.
Well, all the funny people.
Directed
anyway.
By Stanley Kramer. So, yeah, that's, boy, they don't make long comedies anymore, and that's one of them.
That was an epic.
That was an epic.
Was that, in fact, in Cinerama?
I think it was.
Wow.
I have to check that. Shout Factory put out Paul Schrader's Cat People.
Nice.
If you want to see Natasha Kinski and...
And who doesn't?
In 1982, most definitely. 1981, speaking of Jessica Lange, 1981's the remake, The Postman Always Rings Twice with her and Jack Nicholson. Clean off the kitchen table after watching that one. And Robert Townsend's The Five Heartbeats. Now, the other thing I alluded to earlier in the show, my daughter Emma, now 12, had a big movie watching milestone last weekend. What happened was, excuse me while I take a sip.
I got you. Just go ahead. We're good over here.
Thank you. This is a rule I have in my house, because as you know, Brian and Kobe, I am pop culture Atticus Finch. Mm-hmm. And
or you could just shorten it to be pop culture.
I got a million of them. That's better than your girl with echinacea joke.
Shut up. You're saying that because of being nice to the guest.
Hearts one, Sosie zero.
His ERA is really low. It's great. But I had a rule. Emma, because for the last couple summers, Emma's been wanting to go to the midnight movies, especially when Landmark showed Beetlejuice. This was about maybe 3-4 years ago. And I said, you know, I had this worry that I was going to pay, $10 and then look over at 12:20 and she's asleep on the chair. So I had a rule. I said, you have to watch a midnight movie at home first. Well, ladies and gentlemen, not only did my daughter pass her goal, but she passed it with flying colors. And the movie she watched at midnight with her dad, Pulp Fiction.
Oh,
well
yeah.
Well done, sir.
as you find out when, and this is dad tips for everybody, you try not to force it down their throat. You try to have it lying around and hopefully they'll pick it up literally and, ask about it. She knew Tarantino because he had a cameo in Muppet Wizard of Oz many years ago.
Muppet Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, don't worry about it. And then she's heard the name. She's heard, all of us talk about his work and I thought Jackie Brown would be her first film because I thought, Girl Power, my favorite of his. And,
so is that mine too.
Yes. And so it just turned out that we wound up watching Pulp Fiction last Saturday night. She stayed up all the way through it, really liked it. In fact, afterwards we had the stand. She goes, all right, what order is this in? So we stood up in the living room and kind of literally walked through the film in chronological order. All right, it starts here, and then we're in the diner.
Nice.
And then here's Bruce and Vincent meeting at the end and blah, blah, blah.
You know what you got to do now? Show her Stanley Kubrick's The Killing.
I'll get her. She's stuck on The Shining when it comes to Kubrick, so we'll get to that. So the next night, we watch both Kill Bills. Mrs. Soucy is a really good sport. And then she asked, is there any other of his films I would like? And I said, well, so last Wednesday we watched Jackie Brown.
Yes!
Excellent.
She liked it.
Right.
And I tell you, more of a linear storytelling line compared to the other films, shorter. And, she's heard me talk about Elmore Leonard to no end. So anyway.
And great performance by Michael Keaton in that.
Yes. Congratulations, Emma. This is your cinematic bar mitzvah.
Well done, Emma.
So, by the way, the Bloomington Pride Film Festival is going on at the Buskirk Chumley Theater through the 25th. Go to bloomingtonpride.org. And I'm sorry, how often do I get to say this? They're showing a film, Who's Afraid of Vagina Wolf? All right, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Brian, thanks for hanging out.
Always a pleasure, sir.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Go to the Pride Film Festival and tell them you heard that on Film Sociology. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
We go! Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.